Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Bill Hubbard is our guest. He's our good friend. He is the president of Hubbard & Associates. He's the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. He is a human resources expert. That's what he does, making his living every day. He's a member of our Brain Trust. I don't think I said that. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you with us, as always, for our monthly visit on human resources issues. And, you know, Bill, I know you want to talk today about workplace anger, and it's just so sad to me that the examples that we have to talk about today. And I've even got one that's happened in the last week and a half or so that you don't know about and that I haven't even talked about before. This thing that's going through our nation right now with the school shootings and recently this church shooting, and what was it, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, the shooting in Atlanta and of course, obviously this church shooting and the school shooting are not exactly workplace situations, but they're the symptom of the same disease, aren't they? They're just a different result. They happen in a different place than in the workplace.
Yes, it is. It's just showing that there's a lot of, I guess I would say, tension in the air, and it's erupting. It's coming out in ways that are certainly inappropriate. And, of course, my focus today will be dealing with it in the workplace, but trying to prevent these kinds of incidents.
Well, and obviously, the shootings are the most dramatic, and all the way to, you know, to the far end of the spectrum, as far as degree of severity. Mm-hmm. But what was it, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that the guy killed several people in Atlanta? I mean, months ago, about, what was it, back in the summer, I think it was. And then within a week or so, in the next state over in Alabama, some guy killed 2 or 3 people in 2 different workplaces. Similar MO to the Atlanta thing, just not as many people dead.
Right. But there's just a lot of things just kind of erupt, and then we hear about it in the news, and then it just seems like sometimes there's a flurry of activity like that.
Yeah.
And we need to get past it.
Well, and of course, for every dramatic example like that, there are hundreds and thousands of lesser examples that while they don't take lives or cause injury, they do create a lot of stress and a lot of problems in people's lives, don't they?
They sure do. I recall one time walking, I do a lot of sales calls, and one time I had an appointment at a company, went into the organization, and I could just sense something in the air. It was just like everybody was on pins and needles, and then from the back of the area, I heard these two voices raising up and literally a major argument going on.
Yeah.
And, of course, everyone else is like they're just ducking trap, so to speak, in terms of all these issues. And it turned out to be a privately owned family company and two brothers arguing. And they were practically into fisticuffs over some, I don't even recall what the heck the issue was. But there's just certainly no need to have an issue get to that level, because literally that whole organization was at a standstill, because everybody was just ducking the effects of this violent argument that was going on in the back room.
Especially coming from two, I guess, who were owners of the company.
Yes, yeah.
Or at least principals, if not owners.
Yeah, as I recall, they were the owners. There may have been a father or a parent who was an originator of the company, but I don't think that he was that active in it. So it was basically these were the two that were running it, and their pattern of relationship appeared to frequently escalate to this level.
Yeah.
And then in my perspective, I'm standing on the outside kind of watching this. I'm ready to make a presentation, but it just throws my whole sequence out of whack.
Ruins your plan there.
It does. And then I'm also thinking, I don't even know if I want to get into this.
And, of course, that's a little bit of a different situation. That's another wrinkle, and that's the sibling rivalry thing.
And it is.
Ellen Frankenberg is going to be with us next week to talk to us about this type of thing, how the family business takes on all these other Uh-oh. Brings all this other baggage, I guess I should say,
it's a whole new
to the workplace. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And, I know what. I was going to tell you about this other incident that I heard about last week. Another member of my brain trust, I called him the other day to remind him about being on the show, and he was sad. And I said, what's the matter? He said, a friend of mine just died.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what happened? He said, he was murdered. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he owned an apartment building,
mm-hmm.
and he goes to check on it, and he walks in and is talking to the doorman, who is apparently upset about someone has changed his schedule.
Mm-hmm.
He's upset about the schedule, and they get into this argument, and the doorman pulls a gun out and kills my friend's friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has gotten us to the point, Bill, and this is a little bit beyond maybe what you wanted to talk about, but what has got our society to the point where people have that kind of disregard for human life? I don't understand it.
I don't know if I can answer that one, Jim. I honestly don't know.
I was
know.
Hoping you could.
You've put one on the table here that I don't know if I can give a real quick response. I think one thing that leads to it or contributes to it is stress. It's just the continual stress that we have in our environment and in our working lives.
But do you think we have more stress today than we had 30 years ago? I mean, you and I both were in the marketplace 30 or more years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't remember it being any that much worse 30 years ago. Do you? Or I should say that much less stress 30 years ago.
Well, I think part of it is as we get older, we look back, and because I recall thinking of my parents are always complaining about this and complaining about that. And here I was a youngster, and I'm just zipping along in my own little world, and I don't see things as being that bad. And I'm just kind of wondering if, as we get older, we see more and more of a cumulative effect of some of these negative instances that we tend to recall. And now we look at, gee, it's so bad now. Things seem better in the good old days.
Yeah.
And yet, to our kids who are growing up and entering the work world now, this is the prime of their life. 20 years from now, they'll probably look back and say, these were the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's to some degree, these kind of instances are, there's always things that occur, and part of it is our own perspective on how we look at it and how we respond to it. I think that's really one of the key issues is we're all dealt different kind of hands in terms of our, in life and so on.
Mm-hmm.
How we respond to the issues is the key to what makes us a good person.
Bill, stand by. Folks, if you have a comment or a question or a thought that you'd like to offer, if you've got an answer to my question, I'd like to hear it. 888-822-8255. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about what one study Bill reports on calls workplace incivility, what it looks like, how to solve it, and how to avoid it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. 888-822-8255. That's the phone number to call if you have a question or a comment, a thought, something that you'd like to add to our discussion. We're talking about what one report called workplace incivility. The target's eye view is the rest of that discussion. And Bill, we're talking with Bill Hubbard, by the way, folks. He is our human resources expert, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, the president of Hubbard and Associates. And we're talking about workplace violence and stress and tension and
rudeness in the workplace.
Rudeness, incivility, all these things. And we're really not going to talk anymore this hour about some of the dramatic things like the killings and everything. That's just such a horrible thing there. But those are very isolated situations, even though they get a lot of press, don't they, Bill? And
mm-hmm.
and what we're talking about though are the things that happen in every other the things that precede that exactly, and the things that may be happening in every other office around the country today.
There's a lot of interactivity between individuals, and oftentimes it just because of the pressure of getting the work out, something is said out of context or inappropriately or with lack of respect for the other individual, and it just creates a sense of incivility, of rudeness in the workplace. And
yeah.
There was a study that was conducted recently that took a look at that issue, and they identified that literally over 52% of the individuals that they had surveyed said that they spent time worrying about workplace rudeness. So it was like the example that one place that I mentioned where I walked into the door and you could see the whole office had literally come to a stop because of the argument that was going on.
And they lost work time. They reported losing work time because they were worrying about workplace rudeness.
This is true. And even then, and oftentimes one of the responses that employees take is, well, if the boss is going to come down on me that hard, I'm going to react by, I'm not going to do nothing, or I'm going to slow work down.
Which is passive aggressiveness.
Yeah. And so really, one of the key points that I see is to us as managers and us as business owners, as we take a good close look in the mirror, how are we seen by our employees? And yeah, we need to get the work out. We need to take care of our customer. We see problems. We see errors. We're trying to correct those. But rather than blow up about it or fix blame about it, we need to address what is the problem, correct the problem, get the product out the door, take care of the service, and look at how can we do this better the next time around and avoid this blow up of anger, this disrespect for the other individual that is literally non-productive. It's, mm-hmm. In fact, it's counterproductive.
Absolutely. Well, what happens is our feelings, and of course, obviously, if someone's, especially if your manager is being rude, disrespectful, and aggressive to you, obviously that would make anyone be unproductive.
This is true.
But as managers, we have to learn to realize that, and as we're trying to motivate people and to lead other people, we got to realize that, you know, who we're dealing with and how their lives are today and how they're going to be reacting to what we have to say to them.
One other way that they react is they quit. They leave. They leave the job. And we're in an environment now that it's very tough to hire qualified individuals.
Right.
So
right.
If we're driving them out the door because we're angry about something, we better take a good close look at our management style.
Absolutely.
According to the survey, 12% of employees quit their job to avoid rudeness of a superior.
Absolutely. And there are more statistics in this report, Bill, that I want to talk to, but James says we have a caller. Who we got, James? Hi, Steve. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Steve. Say hello to Bill Hubbard.
How you doing, Bill?
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
What you got on your mind, Steve?
Bill, I own a heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration company in Independence, Missouri, and I've been in business for myself for about 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I got the privilege to deal with a lot of different types of personalities, and I do on a daily basis. It seems to me the way things are heading, for some reason I'm seeing this this deep-rooted self-centered fear in people nowadays. This fear that it all comes back to this fear, it seems, that everybody's so worried about what they're not going to get. And if things don't go their way, and if oh my God, it might take away something out of what I think I have coming, these people are so consumed with that. But the thing is they never see it. It's always, yeah?
Let me interrupt you because that's the music. I got to take a quick break. Can you hang on with us for just a minute?
Sure.
Stay with us. We're going to take a break, and you'll be right back on with us when we come back after these messages. It's 29 After, folks. We'll be back with our caller, Steve, and our special guest, Bill Hubbard. We're talking about stress in the workplace. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. It's 33 After. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255 if you'd like to join the conversation with me and our special guest and our good friend, Bill Hubbard, a member of our Brain Trust, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. And we also have a caller. Steve, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for hanging on, Steve. And, folks, Steve had just said that it seems that the people he's hiring, and Steve, don't let me put words in your mouth, make sure I say this right, that the people you're finding have and I'm quoting here, a self-centered fear that they're not going to get what they think they should get. Is that about right, Steve?
Well, it seems everything seems to be coming down to that if you get to the root of everybody's excuses by why they're angry or why their life's in disarray. You know, it just seems that the community structure in itself has broken down so much, it's incredible.
Yeah. Bill, you got any comments?
Well, the one reaction that I had when you were first describing the situation was what's in it for me? And
right.
What I sense that the employee's perspective is, is that what's in it for me? I'm trying to cover my tail. I'm trying to take care of my family. I want to make sure that I get what I'm entitled to. And for us now as owners and managers of our companies, I think it's important that as we deal with our issues, deal with our customers, provide our product, provide our service, try to make a profit, that we also look at this employee's perspective and try to address or answer these kinds of issues or provide information to them so that they can get a sense of, well, this is what's in it for you, because that's one of their main concerns. And if they feel it's not being addressed, then they do have this fear, and this fear raises to levels that, as we see from some of these situations, can lead to anger and can lead to either greater, even greater consequences.
What do you think, Steve?
Well, I've always been a problem solver, at least the way my dad always taught me to live, to address things and to face them as they are. And I try not to with my employees to, when I sense that, to let that even cultivate into anything whatsoever. I try to nip it in the bud as it comes along. And I've always been very graceful in understanding and listening and understanding people's perspectives and their concerns. And everybody, myself, I have two children and a wife and a family and bills to pay. And most of my guys are the same. And it's not so much with my guys. I have to admit that I'm fortunate. I have handpicked some guys that really live on a let me not get this misconstrued. Not a religious style of life, but a spiritual type of life, which involves spiritual principles.
I hear you.
And these guys basically have an attitude of, you know, I'm going to do the next right thing throughout the day, and whatever happens to me is really none of my business. I know I'm going to be taken care of.
Steve,
we all are.
Are you seeing a level of aggressiveness in this self-centered fear that you're talking about? And that's a very interesting way to say it. I'd never thought about those two terms together, self-centered fear. Are you seeing a level of aggressiveness that's manifesting from that self-centered fear that you have not seen in the past?
I've seen it for all time. If you ask anybody what's their problems, if they say anger, frustration, jealousy, insecurity, financial problems, it all roots back to that one deep-rooted question of what's in it for me? Am I going to get my share?
Yeah,
and that level of fear that's arised out of that spawns anger. It spawns everything.
Well, and then now, Bill, I guess we're talking about, you know, what's reasonable to expect that you should have for yourself. Because to me, there are people out there that there are guys like Steve who probably are trying to do a really good job
right.
And be fair to their employees. But there are people out there, Bill and Steve, that the more you do for them, the more they think they deserve.
Well, this is true. There's a
yeah.
lot of that.
And see, to me, that may be where part of our problem is today. When I was, you know, when I was coming up, if I felt like my boss did something for me that was really a fair thing to do, I didn't think that he was being weak and I ought to try to squeeze something else out of him. I appreciated it. Sometimes it seems that's not the way people take it these days. Steve, what do you think?
Absolutely. You know, like I said, I'm not a doctor to tell you the truth. You know, I'm just a common, hardworking man, and what I do know is I have a sense of what's right and wrong, and I have a sense of when I deserve something for the work I put into it, and when I also deserve the consequences for the bad work I have put into it. And I've been on both sides of the fence in my life,
yeah.
And to tell you the truth, you know, yes, there's a whole world full of people that are just stuck in self-centered fear. And it's almost like you have to treat them like they're sick people, almost
Bill,
like they have a disease.
I mean, Steve, what would you do to solve this problem, if you could? If you met somebody that was exhibiting those tendencies, and we got less than a minute, and we're going to have to let you go, what would you do?
Absolutely nothing I could do but live by example. I cannot change a person's life. All I can do is share the way my lifestyle is and try to pass that on and just be there for if they need help.
Yeah, what do you think, Steve? I mean, Bill, what do you
think? Well, one of the things Steve said was he tries to listen and tries to understand, and that's one of the key issues, is to let the employee know, I hear what your situation is, I understand what your situation is, and then turn it into the direction you need to go.
Steve, thanks for calling. Good call. You're my hero. Gotta wrap it up. No, we're not wrapping it up. We still got some time to go, folks. It's 39 after. We are going to take a break, though. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Hubbard is our guest. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please check that out. Thank you very much for doing it. And drop me a line. Let me know that you were there. Sign my guest book. Let me know what you think, and be sure to take advantage of the on-demand capability if you weren't able to hear all of the show today, or if you missed it completely, just any particular day, you can hear the show rebroadcast from my website on demand whenever you want to. Bill, I'd like for you to give us your website, please.
Okay, www.hubbert.com, that's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T, and then there's information there about the books that I've written on privacy, work personnel policies, performance appraisal issues, as well as my consulting organization.
And you work in a virtual way with people. If somebody in Spokane, Washington needed some help with some human resources issues, we could work with them and help them without ever having to lay eyes on them.
We can address an issue on 5 or 10 minutes over the telephone if that's what it takes.
Right, but also he's available, folks, to be hired. And that's one of the things, that's the beauty of the virtual marketplace that we're emerging into. And so if you've got something like that, Bill is a great resource. And I recommend you take advantage of his availability, but don't take advantage of him. I know you'll give him a little time to start with, Bill, but you know, if it works like it looks like it's getting into a project, be sure to pay him for what he does. Bill, Steve, our caller, made some real good points, and I really appreciated him doing that. As you pointed out to me off the air, you know, it's obvious that this is a real life subject that's out there,
this rudeness
in the marketplace, this incivility that we're having. And by the way, folks, the phone number is 888-822-8255. Let's talk about the rest of this survey, and then get into some of the things that we can do to solve this problem. 12% of the respondents of the survey told researchers that they had quit their job to avoid someone who was causing them a problem.
This is to me, that's a very significant number.
Do you think that was not counting sexual harassment issues, or would that have included sexual harassment?
It's really hard to say. I'm sure that sexual harassment contributes to some of the issues as well. Kind of in relation to that, one of the surveys identified that men and women equally were recipients of this type of rude behavior. But according to the survey authors, 70% of the incidents were instigated by men. So if that reflects the harassment issue, and I don't want to read into something that's not there, but it does kind of show that men as managers sometimes were driven to accomplish an objective, and we just are like a bull in a china shop rolling over anybody and anything in our way. And that can often be very counterproductive, because the damage that it inflicts emotionally to employees and to others around us can have a very critical and very negative effect. And sometimes it comes back and erupts into some of these anger type of incidents.
Well, I think that Mona Charon once said that, the columnist Mona Charon once said that that men are not necessarily meaner than women, but they are more aggressive than women. And so I think that their frustrations manifest itself in a much more aggressive way than with women. Women find other ways to maybe manipulate or whatever, I don't know. And I don't want to go too far down the road here, because I'll get skewered. But anyway.
That's the topic of another
That's another subject in it altogether.
Studies on that, too.
Exactly. Let's move over and talk about some of the things that we can do about all this.
Well, one of the key things I really suggest is that we, in terms of managers and owners, is we take a look at it. We try to get involved with some training that focuses on making sure that we're giving good, clear, results-oriented communication. So we avoid the emotional element of it and focus on the results, the objective issues, and make sure that our communication is clear, that it's understood, and then we follow up and we monitor and we measure results and deal with those kinds of issues rather than criticizing and blaming. So,
and you might need your people might need some training in communicating, right?
I would really suggest that, because I've been doing this work with an attitude survey with a client, and every time I've ever done an attitude survey, one of the issues that comes back is lack of communication. So it's important that we do it ourselves. We get our managers and our supervisors to do it as well. We give them some training on what and how to communicate so that we can improve their process.
Another thing that you report is that the importance of emphasizing the use of courtesy and respect.
I think this is really key because, you know, even in an emergency situation, you can have a sense of urgency, but you don't have to have disrespect for the other person. And that's really one of the key issues. And again, keeping a focus on the factual element of an issue rather than a personal affront or a personal attack avoids that disrespect element.
And I'll tell you something, that's definitely something for managers to pay attention to. You may not think you're being disrespectful, but you may be.
You probably are. If your anger gets the best of you, it can easily slide into that. And that's one of the key issues, is to keep calm, focus on the issues. Another related area...
Can I stop you for a second there,
sure,
before we move on to the next one? I just want to say to all managers and business owners out there, the level of stress that you're under and the things that you have to deal with are no excuse for being disrespectful or discourteous to your employees. There's no excuse. Now, I'm not talking about everybody, you know, trying to get motivated. I'm not talking about, you know, ways that you feel like you need to motivate people. Obviously, in a tough situation where there's a deadline and everything, everybody needs to be motivated. But still, none of that is any excuse for being rude or disrespectful, is it, Bill?
Exactly.
Stand by. We're going to come right back after these messages. It's 50 after the hour. We've got some more things to do to tell you about to help you avoid workplace incivility. Stay with us, please. We are back. It's 54 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking with Bill Hubbard, our good friend and member of our Brain Trust, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, which is available in bookstores, online. It's available all over the country. It's available from his workshop, from his website, I should say, which is what, Bill? Give it to us one more time.
www.hubbard.com, and there's information on my book and a quick link to the publisher as well.
And folks, Hubbard has two B's and two T's.
Right.
Make sure you get that in there. Let's wrap up the hour, Bill, by talking about some more things that we can do to try to prevent workplace incivility.
One thing that's good for our employees is to give them good training on communication issues dealing with angry customers, because one of the things the surveys identified is that dealing with angry customers is also a source of tension for our employees. So the better that we train them, the more they know what our systems are, what the product is, what the service is, how to respond, how to deal with these kinds of tense issues, that'll make their job easier as well.
Right.
Another concern for supervisors is to conduct disciplinary issues privately, in a private meeting.
Very important.
And again, without that show of anger or a public display of authority.
If you're mad at somebody, and you know, employees can do things that make us mad, there's no question about that.
Right.
I mean, I've had that to happen to me. But don't do it, act like you should do the same thing that you do when you're disciplining your children. And that is, wait till you're over that before you do the disciplining.
That whole count to 10 issue.
and probably sleep on it.
Yeah, sometimes sleep on it, just get past the highly emotional phase of it and get back to the objective evaluation end of it so that you can make a clear, logical decision, because sometimes your decision is going to be clearer once you've got a few more of the facts. When you're reacting emotionally, you may not have all the facts. You may not even be open to considering actual facts or maybe even mitigating circumstances.
What's the next one?
Oh, show recognition and appreciation. One of the biggest complaints employees have is, well, you write us, we bust our tail to get through this crunch period, and then there's no thank you. So show both sides of that and give the employee recognition and appreciation for their efforts and let them know that you're doing.
When you don't appreciate people who go the extra mile, when you sort of, basically that's almost a form of abuse, and folks, that will cause you to lose good customers, and you may lose more than that customer. I mean, not only customers, good employees, and you may lose more than that employee over all that, because other people, the other employees see that going on, don't they?
Yes, they do. And I've been into businesses where I wasn't treated well by the employees, and hey, I take my business elsewhere.
If I don't feel right.
I'm getting good service. And so this is why it's really important that we train our employees and we treat them fairly and respectfully so that they're going to feel good about themselves and about their job and more effective and more confident when they're dealing with the customer, because they represent you and you want to make sure that they're giving you the best possible representation.
Bill, we've got about 30 seconds. Talk to us about an attitude survey.
Well, I think this is one good tool to use. It's one of the areas that I provide assistance for firms is we come in and we ask employees a variety of questions. We assimilate the responses and provide feedback to management. I also recommend feedback to the employees, and typically it identifies some corrective actions. One of the key issues that generally comes out of this is the need to improve upon communications and improve upon training of our employees.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good kind of a diagnostic tool, if you will, that helps a firm and a manager better understand what their situation is, what their organization is, what some of their shortcomings are. In effect, it's kind of a management performance appraisal.
Bill, that's got to be the last word. Very well done. Thank you, sir, and we'll see you next month.
Great.
Have a good time.
Thank you.
Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to take a break. We're going to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.